Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
We're going to talk about money today because the lesson we're covering now is the eighth commandment, which says, "Thou shalt not steal." The root of all stealing is the love of money, and the love of money is the root of all types of evil, as we clearly read in Scripture. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness." That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? We don't hear much of that scripture coming from our big name circles today, do we? The pursuit of money and the desire for earthly success drives us almost as strongly as our sensual desires today. Time to get clear of it. Time to make Jesus to be our one consuming desire. Join us as we tackle this pertinent topic today, right here on Skies Revival Radio. Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. We're going to talk about money today because the lesson we're covering now is the eighth commandment. That commandment says, "Thou shalt not steal." The root of all stealing boils down to the love of money. And the love of money is the root of all types of evil, as we clearly read in Scripture. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness." That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? We don't hear much of that scripture coming from our big name preachers, do we? The pursuit of money and the desire for earthly success drives us almost as strongly as our sensual desires today. Sex and money are the two great driving forces in America, and they have had a tremendous influence on the church today. We can't do too much about the world in general, but we sure better tackle these things head on in our lives. That's why we covered immorality and impurity of heart, eyes, and actions for the last few weeks. And that's why we're going to go head-to-head confronting this next prevalent sin, which is attacking the body of Christ. If you didn't catch the last lessons, they are very pertinent to us all, and it would be well worth looking them up on our website. Type in Skies Revival Radio, and you'll find the previous lessons there. Or you can get a copy of the book, which we are working our way through. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It's a close look at historical Christianity, particularly focusing on the Reformation and the Puritans. It's very solid and good medicine for many of the diseases that infect the body of Christ today. We're going to continue our lesson now. This would be chapter 17. The essence of this commandment is that we would be free from the love of money. Jesus taught about these dangers in Matthew 19. He says, Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Those are very strong words, aren't they? These are words that we don't hear very often and words that we try not to listen to because they run so contrary to our natural desires. What makes these words so inclusive is that you don't really have to actually be rich to have a difficult time entering the kingdom of God because of money. If we apply the heart attitude to this commandment, as Jesus did to all the rest of them, we see that even if we are poor or middle class, and we are filled with a desire for money or unwilling to part with what we have to follow him, then we are very much in danger. He only picks on the rich because they have more to let go of. If the average person clutches to what they have, even if it's only a small amount compared to the wealthy, they are equally in danger of forfeiting the kingdom of heaven because of their material goods. Now, this is cause for concern because this includes almost every one of us. What God is addressing in this commandment is that with freedom from the love of money, we are able to steer clear of many of the pitfalls which surround us on all sides. We're like pilgrims wandering through a valley of tar pits. To our left and right and dead ahead are treacherous holes filled with a hot gummy substance which will pull us down to our death. That tarry substance is the love of money. Here are some of the things that it can do to you if you carelessly slip into it. It will make you greedy. This sin is selfishness in its most complete form. It is something which covers us in black tar and makes us exceedingly ugly before God. Jesus said, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." That's found in Luke 12:15. Greed is so ugly to God because it's the very opposite of his love. Greed is manifested by always wanting the best for yourself without concern for the other person. His love is manifested by wanting the best for the other person, even at our own expense. Entering into a greedy mentality, you will find it is exceedingly difficult to avoid stealing in all of its forms. Just consider how easy it is to break this commandment, how easy it is to steal, especially if you have a greedy heart attitude. I'm going to tell you an amazing true story now. One form of stealing is to find something lost that's desirable to you, and then you don't make an earnest effort to return it. Here's an interesting example of that type of honesty that God loves and requires. A young man I know ordered something valuable from a catalog company. It wasn't for himself. It was something that he would have very much liked for himself, but it was a gift for his brother. When the parcel arrived, amazingly, it contained two of those items. The second one hadn't even been billed to him. It was a shipping mistake. There was absolutely no way for the company to find out about the loss. An ordinary person would have simply kept the item without a second thought. But this was not an ordinary person. This was a young man who was a child of God and also a member of our Fellowship of the Unashamed. So he proceeded to call the company to inform them of their error. And it didn't stop there. It took him several calls and detailed explanations to convince them of their mistake. When he thought he was finally able to make them understand, he found out a month later that they had credited back his account the full amount for the item. Now, not only did he have the extra item, but he also had several hundred dollars refunded to his credit card. Again, let me remind you that this was not something he couldn't use. This is something he really wanted. More phone calls followed, and eventually they recharged his card. By this time, he decided to keep the item and simply pay for it rather than trying to send it back. The final result was, in reward for his honesty, they only charged him half price for the second item. So God blessed him in the end with a perfectly clear conscience and with the item. An unusual young man? Perhaps. It made me proud to be in the Fellowship of the Unashamed with him. But unusual in the eyes of God? No. He expects all his children to behave in a similar manner. His people must, as in this case, fight to do the honest thing, not just fight, but keep on fighting. He could never have done that if he hadn't been free from the love of money. Because he considered God to be his treasure, earthly things had no hold on him, and he was able to do what would have literally been impossible for most people. There is a beautiful verse in Job 22 that reads, "Place your gold in the dust, and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brook. Then the Almighty will be your gold and your choice silver to you. For then you will delight in the Almighty and lift up your face to God." This young man had made the Almighty to be his gold and choice silver. Therefore, it was possible for him to let go of unlawful gain and behave in a manner that greatly pleased his earthly and his heavenly fathers. What would make this case so difficult to many is the rationalization that they hadn't done anything wrong. And that may be true, but we must abide by a higher law, and that law is, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you were in business, you certainly would not want to mistakenly send out valuable goods for free. Therefore, we are bound to do the right thing. Here's another common cause for stumbling: tax evasion by unreported income. What the government doesn't know can't hurt them, but it can kill you. There are literally thousands of ways to hide income and cheat on income tax. All you have to do is ask for cash for a transaction, and it's not traceable by the government. But what is overlooked is that it is very much traceable by God. He keeps a strict account of everything you do, and he will require it of you if you deal dishonestly, even with the impersonal, universally despised government. There are many who make a sport of trying to cheat the government, and they are cheered on by friends and family. Even some Christian groups fall into this tragic mindset and teach against paying taxes. They fail to realize that the government has been placed over them by God for their protection and good. If the logic were followed to the end and no one paid taxes, you couldn't drive because there would be no road maintenance. There would be no police, so all that you owned would be at the mercy of dishonest men who never paid their taxes. There would be no armed forces, so your country would be at the mercy of any invading army. Government is merely the organization of the community to provide for the needs that no single person could manage. The government is nothing more than the management of a very large family. When you cheat on taxes, you are actually stealing everybody's money. And that should make you think of it differently. You get the idea. Romans 13:5-8 says, "Wherefore it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law." Think about this. Next time you are presented with an opportunity to cheat the government, ask yourself, how much is your soul worth? If it's worth more than the amount you're trying to save, then you are on the losing end of the deal. Let's consider another way that we might steal, though very many people that are listening would hardly think about breaking and entering and robbing someone, yet there are many ways to steal. Unfaithfulness in labor is another easy and often hard to detect form of stealing. When we are hired for a job, we are expected to work diligently at it. It is not just expected by your boss, but also by your heavenly boss. Consider the words of Paul in Colossians 3:23-25. "Whatever you do, do your work heartily as unto the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve, for he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong he has done, and that without partiality." God expects us to work hard, and even with a good will, and even if our boss is tough and demanding. Note that this same verse begins with an exhortation to slaves to work with all diligence and sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. And this is our freedom in Christ. Those whose focus is their money will never be satisfied. They will always be demanding more. They will always be complaining. Rather than trying to do their job diligently, they are only interested in what they can get. This is a polluting mindset and will make them the type of employee that every boss wants to get rid of. Proverbs 18:9 says, "He who is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys." If we are free from the love of money, we can do anything for anybody. We can go the extra mile because we are more concerned with pleasing the customer and our boss than ourselves. When we adopt this godly mindset, a wonderful thing starts to happen. If we work as unto the Lord pays us. He becomes our defender and the source of our income. God has ordained laws in his universe to protect you. If you are being unfairly treated or underpaid for your work, and yet do it cheerfully unto God, his mechanism kicks in to make sure you receive just compensation. Consider Proverbs 14:23. in all labor there is profit. This is God's promise to us that He will reward our labors. We are free to leave our needs and our concerns in His care, and He will faithfully watch over us. This promise from His holy word will start to operate, and you will be blessed. Remember back to Deuteronomy that if you are careful to obey all of His precepts, these blessings will pursue you and overtake you. Just don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. That's Galatians 6:9. We're going to have to leave off here, but we will continue again next lesson, and we look forward to joining you then. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and is available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Skies Celtic Revival CD, which is available on the Sky Family website or on iTunes.